There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Arab World, discovering the region's best stories.
So you're no stranger to the show, Man, but would you mind just briefly introducing yourself to any listeners who haven't heard you before?
Sure. Hi, everyone. I'm really happy to be here. I am Man Jalal. I am a journalist at Khalij Times, and I have a blog and a vlog online called Man of the Hour, all about books.
Is great there any title, yeah. Man of the Hour.
He's king of all the puns.
Well, yeah. that is fabulous. Thanks. And you're originally from Iraq.
I'm originally from Iraq, half Iraqi, half Yemeni, but from Iraq, yeah.
Yeah, and yeah. The Ahmed Sadawi was the International Prize for Arabic Fiction winner with Frankenstein in Baghdad,
yeah.
Which is, first of all, an amazing title.
It's a great title, yeah. And
we are so delighted that he's coming again. He's been before, but he's coming back again for the 2018 festival. And you've read the book in English. You're going to read it in Arabic as well and compare.
Yeah.
But it is, I think, the International Prize for Arabic Fiction. One of the things is that they like to make sure or to ensure that the winner gets translated into English at least, and hopefully into other languages. And that's one of the remits, to ensure that people, you know, around the world can read some of the best Arabic literature.
Yeah, and I know it's been translated into French and into Italian as well.
Yes.
And I've been reading a lot of comments online of Italian and French readers, their comments on the book, which I think have been really interesting and really fascinating. Now, I've heard about this book a lot, and I didn't know much about it, which I'm really glad that I didn't have expectations in my head when I got into it. And reading a lot of Arab fiction, I'm sort of used to these big, massive, sweeping, epic tales of families and wars. But this was very different. So for those of you who don't know, Frankenstein in Baghdad is a dark fantasy. It's sort of like crime mixed with fantasy and science fiction. And it's a very surreal story. I think surreal is the perfect word. And if I was to give it a visual, listeners a visual cue to what it's like, it's sort of, do you guys know that painting, The Garden of Good and Evil by Bosch? It kind of reminds me of that, and The Persistence of Memory by Dali. It is just a strange cacophony of stories that's a bit dark. So basically what it's about is we start off with this explosion that happens in Baghdad from the perspective of different characters at different times. And so after this explosion, one of the main characters is a man called Hadi, who is an antique seller. So he roams Baghdad collecting all these different antiques. He also collects stories that he then tells to journalists who are interested to write about Baghdad. And he also does something very strange, and he collects different body parts from around Baghdad of people who have died in explosions. And so he feels that these body parts deserve a proper burial. But what he ends up doing, and he has no idea why he's doing this, is that he starts to sew these different body parts together. I know, it's a bit strange. And he kind of hides it in his house. And this last explosion that happened in the beginning of the book, he finds that the last piece to this body he's been creating, which is a nose. So he takes this nose and he sews it onto the body. And then he kind of thinks, well, what am I going to do with this body now? Should I bury it? Should I leave it? And he kind of just sort of forgets about it. And this strange, mysterious storm takes over Baghdad. And the next day, he wakes up and the body's gone. So this body somehow gets a conscience and gets a soul, and it roams through Baghdad seeking revenge on all the people that have killed him. So he ends up killing criminals and evil people as well as innocent people, and he becomes this media sensation who's being interviewed for why he's doing this.
So because he's made up of different people, in a sense, there will be lots of different targets from this amalgamation of the Frankenstein monster.
Exactly.
And what an incredible take, isn't it, Annabelle?
Yeah. The story, the interactions with the creature,
yeah,
it's told from different perspectives, isn't it? Different characters.
Exactly.
Were there any that you found more compelling than others?
I think the one that I found the most compelling is Alshiva, who we meet at the beginning of the book. She is a Christian Iraqi woman, and everyone thinks that she's a witch or that she has some kind of strange spiritual powers, because she's not really aware of what's happening around her. And she, her daughters have moved to Australia. Her father, her husband, sorry, passed away a few years ago, and she lives in this big grand house that she cleans all the time. And she's kind of in grief because she lost her son 20 years ago. He just went missing. And she, it's a story of many women in Iraq who have lost husbands or sons in war who never came back. And so she has this strange relationship with a saint painted in her house that she's always talking to and trying to bargain with for her son Daniel to come back. And so the antique seller who creates Frankenstein actually is her neighbor. And so she is the first person to meet this Frankenstein character, and she believes that it's Daniel, her son, who's come back. So he lives with her in her home when he's out doing all these killings. So I found her really interesting, and I guess you'd say she's the emotional pulse. The emotional pulse of the novel, because you meet all kinds of characters, from journalists and editors and beggars and barbers. But to me, she's the one that I was most fascinated, because she loves this creature.
Oh, I definitely want to read this book.
Yeah.
And I will have to read it in translation. My Arabic is no way good enough to read the original. But it sounds really original. The whole... a completely different take on the literary Arabic novel,
exactly,
in many ways.
Exactly. And what I think he does that's very interesting here, he's sort of making... There's lots of dark humor. I know it sounds gruesome and violent and scary, but for example, when the police are trying to figure out who this murderer is, they hear he is a gruesome creature, and so they end up finding all the people they deem as ugly, quote-unquote, in Baghdad as suspects, which is quite funny when you're reading it within the context of the story.
Define ugly.
Yeah, exactly. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, dear.
But what I really loved was this idea that this Frankenstein creature doesn't think he's doing anything wrong, and he feels like he's quite misunderstood, and in fact, he tells everyone, I am the true Iraqi citizen, because I'm made up of all these different people from different sects and different classes of society. So you guys technically should love me, because I'm the true Iraqi, which I thought was...
That's an amazing, amazing sort of character to create.
Exactly, yeah. And an equal footing is that not only he is this character, but Baghdad as a city becomes a character, because there isn't one main protagonist. Like I said, we meet all kinds of people from all different walks of life, and they all have a secret or a story or a history. And so you get this idea that Baghdad is such an old place filled with stories that we don't sort of need to delve into, but they're all just accumulated, and it's kind of reflected in even how, because as he's killing these people and walking around, he's losing body parts as well, and so he's trying to rebuild himself. So he's kind of like this never-ending story.
My arm.
Yeah, exactly.
In the gold suit.
Exactly.
I mean, it is very dark humor.
It's very dark
it?
Humor, and he's kind of like a representation of not only stories that keep changing, but of the city, because Baghdad has gone through so much change over the past, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years. So he's kind of like a physical representation of that, which is really different and clever for Ahmed Saddawi to do, I think, in an Arabic novel.
Mm. Can I just skip back and ask a question about something you mentioned earlier, I think. Mm-hmm. Did you say that he the story is told through different perspectives according to which body part, to who they're from?
No. Just different characters who hear about this creature, or people who live in this neighborhood.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not sure if you guys have read... The Waves by Virginia Woolf. It reminded me a little bit of that, where the same incident happens and each character views this incident from their perspective. And so you're learning about characters and about what's happening from different perspectives. It was just, it's like a kaleidoscope.
Mm-hmm. We need to ask him whether he took inspiration when he's here at the festival, whether he took inspiration from Virginia Woolf. But I was listening to you, I was reminded of The Yacoubian Building by Alaa Aswany, which featured in a completely different setting, but it was this whole building and all the characters that lived in different places and were, again, from different walks of life, different cultures, but they all shared this building.
Same building,
and again, that was a fantastic read. I mean, you know, I would recommend if anyone hasn't read The Yacoubian Building by Alaa Aswany, is a really, really great book. I think you really get sort of drawn into Cairo, where the building existed. And I think with this, Frankenstein in Baghdad, you would get the feeling of Baghdad as a character,
exactly,
as well as the people.
And like Yacouban Building, it's become a great movie. And this, I've just heard, is also going to be turned into a film. Yeah, he sold the rights to, I think, a British production house. And he kind of didn't want it to be created or produced. He was approached by so many different people in the Middle East, but he sort of went for this British company. And I'm really excited to see what they're going to do with it, actually, because it lends itself to film when you read the book.
In English or in Arabic, what do you think?
I'm not sure. He has no idea. He's not involved. But no. I think it would be great if it was in Arabic. And if they could somehow film it in Baghdad, that would be amazing.
Wouldn't it be amazing? Yeah. I have a question to win two tickets to... There's a choice of sessions. We have the Kate Moss session or the panel that Ahmed Sadawi is on. Right. So, very simple. 2018 is an anniversary for Frankenstein. Is it A, 100 years, or B, 200 years? Text in your answer. You can either put 100 years or 200 years. So you've got a 50% chance of getting it right. It's one of those. To 4001, and please put your name. And the question about the Gruffalo for the mystery tickets to a mystery session, is the Gruffalo a real character? You can still send your answers into that. 4001, please put your name. And for the Gruffalo question, if you're a young listener, please put your age too.
One thing I want to ask you about Frankenstein in Baghdad before we leave the discussion there is the language that's used. You said that you read this in translation, but you didn't find that it was clunky at all.
Yeah, no, I didn't find it was clunky. What I found what was interesting about reading it is that the translator, whose name I don't know, I apologize, managed to really bring in phrases and sayings in English where they didn't sound bizarre.
Right.
So I think it was quite a good translation. And in fact, Ahmed Sadawi's writing, I think, isn't typically, oh, here's the name of the translator. It is Jonathan Wright.
He's an award-winning translator, amazing man.
He translated The Bamboo Stork, I think, didn't he?
Yes, I think he did.
So that was one of my favorites.
So does Sinusi.
And I think Ahmed Sadawi as well is not interested in writing amazing, wonderful, lyrical prose. That's not what he's about anyway. So I don't think he's more about, I think, experimental literature and change in getting out of that concept of Arabic being this, you know, very important written language that's very flowery. He kind of wants to get out of that.
So does he use Iraqi dialects?
I haven't read it in Arabic yet, but in English, there wasn't a difference between the dialogue and the written prose.
Okay. Mm.
Yeah.
But in Arabic, it might be a little bit different. So when you've read it, we want to know, Man.
Yeah, I will.
Definitely. Or Man of the Hour, as I shall now call you.
Yeah, please do.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.